We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. My black eye isn't quite as bad today, Tony, so I might not need these sunglasses anymore.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I was going to wear these in solidarity. Now I guess I don't have to, huh?
In that case, well, I should start out with a shout-out to JSX, the good people at JSX Airline out here in Scottsdale, who scraped me off the tarmac after tripping over my own luggage. I should at least shout them out. I could still be laying there.
Why don't you throw them $100 or something? Don't shout them out. Give them some money if they helped you.
Money?
What are you talking about? Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Celtics win comes with a cost. The Falcons try to explain their thinking, and P.K. Subban joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with two teams eliminated from the NBA playoffs last night. Wilbon, bad day. You went 0-2. You had the Pelicans and Lakers winning, and they didn't. The Pelicans were swept by Oklahoma City, and the Lakers and LeBron James were shown the door by the Denver Nuggets 4-1, courtesy of another Jamal Murray last-few-second shot. After the loss, LeBron was asked about playing for the Lakers next year, and he deliberately ducked the question. Wilbon, what do you see happening with LeBron and the Lakers?
Well, Tony, with $51 million on the line, I know LeBron has a lot of money, but he also has expressed his desire publicly to own a franchise. So he's going to need more money. As much money as LeBron has, he's not trying to say, I'm going to walk away from this. I don't believe that. There's so much great basketball left in him. We just saw it. Look, he and Anthony Davis played really good, and they really pushed Denver. They're not way away. I don't think they're as good as Oklahoma City or Minnesota or Denver. They're not way away. They're competitive as hell. They pushed Denver hard. They lost to Jamal Murray on 2 buzzer beaters. Now, I know, they're going to be blame game because it's L.A., and they're going to blame Darvin Ham, which is stupid if they're that lazy to just blame Darvin Ham as if he didn't just help get them to the conference finals last year. So the Lakers have got to get better, Tony, at a time where there is a changing of the guard. I mentioned Minnesota and Oklahoma City. Denver's already changed the guard. So you got those three above them. But I don't see LeBron walking away just yet. Maybe he will, but I don't see that. He's got too much great basketball left in him.
Yeah, I've got a different opinion than you have. I'm going to start with this. There's two things I want to say about LeBron James. One is that wherever he plays and whoever he plays for, he gives maximum effort all the time. He goes out there and he plays hard. That's what a true superstar
does.
He gives you the best he's got every time he walks out. He has no particular allegiance to where he's playing except in that particular moment. He left his hometown, Cleveland, for Miami. He left Miami, went back to Cleveland. He left Cleveland again and went to Los Angeles. He goes where he wants. He plays where he wants. He's an itinerant. I don't believe he will be with the Lakers next year. I don't know what the Lakers can do for him, Mike. They can fire a coach. LeBron always wants coaches fired. So what? They can bring more players in and around him. He's already got Anthony Davis. You're going to bring in Durant. You're going to bring in Trae Young. You're going to bring in Kyrie Irving. Maybe LeBron loves Los Angeles enough to lose there.
He does.
But, Mike, I'm not going to be surprised if he goes to the Knicks or the Bucks or the Mavericks. I'm not going to be surprised because he wants to win a title with a fourth team. No one has ever done that. That's GOAT-like to him. And, I mean, do you want to play with D'Angelo Russell, who actually said this? Hell of a year by D'Angelo humbly saying that? Do you want to play with that guy? They're not as good as Denver. They're not. They're not.
No,
I think
Tony,
he's going to leave.
Quickly.
That's me.
Tony, he wants to be here in that West, L.A. It's not about the team. He's 40. This is not 25 leaving Cleveland for Miami. He's got a wife and three children, older children participating in sports. You know how your life changed when you had that. This Southern
Nobody
California
has ever
is
won
where he wants to
with
be.
Four franchises.
That's
Nobody's ever done it.
Southern California.
That makes you a GOAT. Yep. We'll stay with the NBA and shift to I-95, Wilbon's favorite highway, where Boston pummeled Miami again in Miami to take a 3-1 lead in that series. But Kristaps Porzingis limped off the court just before halftime with a calf injury, the extent of which we do not know yet. Wilbon, where does this leave the Celtics?
Diminished, at least as long as he's out, Tony. Whatever that is, and we don't know the extent yet, as you said. Look, they're not beating Denver without Kristaps Porzingis healthy and in full participation. They might not beat Minnesota without that, especially with Minnesota's size. And I don't know that they could beat the Knicks without Porzingis. Now, Porzingis and you, I'm going to give you some credit. Early last year when they made, or last summer when they made this deal, I said I didn't like it because Porzingis had played like 36 games for the Wizards last year. You said, no, I like it. If Porzingis stays out there, it's going to make them the favorite in the East. Golf clap for you. But I know you pinned those hopes and your prediction on Porzingis being out there. So if Porzingis is not there, they're not beating Denver. They're not beating Minnesota. And again, Tony, they'd struggle with the Knicks without Porzingis. He's had that kind of year. We'll see how this – I hope he's out there. I hope he's playing. I hope Boston's whole. They're going to need him.
Injuries are the biggest story of the playoffs so far. Jimmy Butler is out. Zion Williamson is out. Giannis Antetokounmpo is out. Joel Embiid is limping around out there. Kawhi Leonard comes and goes. Damian Lillard is out. Now Porzingis is out. We think. We don't know. Okay, he's important to the Celtics. He's the largest player they have. He averaged 20 points and 7 rebounds in a regular season. He creates a lot of space on the court because people pay attention to him for the shooters, and Boston is a team of shooters. The thing that, you know, I'm uncertain that the winner of Cleveland-Orlando would beat Boston even without Porzingis. I'm uncertain about the Knicks. But my uncertainty goes, I know Denver would, but my uncertainty goes to this, Mike. The record with Porzingis and the record without Porzingis is amazing to me. With Porzingis, the Celtics are 43-14. That's terrific. Without him, they're 21-4. It's even better. I don't know what to make of that. I just don't. I love the trade. I loved it when they got him. I don't think they ever missed Marcus Smart. I don't, because I think, White and Jaylen Brown made up for it. And then they got Jrue Holiday.
They got Jrue Holiday.
I don't know what they can do without him.
That was the makeup. Yeah. That was the do-over. They got him. Look, I'm giving you credit again for Porzingis and making that call, but Tony, they need him. They do. They I know the record may say they don't. I don't believe the record. And now, to the Atlanta Falcons, trying to explain the logic behind drafting Michael Penix, number 8, despite having signed Kirk Cousins to $100 million in guarantees. Charles Robinson of Yahoo reports that team owner Arthur Blank signed off on the draft pick because Penix was the team's number 2 rated quarterback in the whole draft behind Caleb Williams, and that next year's quarterback class looks weaker, and that Blank wants to overlap Cousins with a special talent who's waiting in the wings and ready to go after Cousins. Tony, does all that make more sense to you now?
No, they're convenient rationalizations to me. They're like, justification talking points. When people criticize this, I think it's a combustible situation. I think it might be an absurd situation. I think of Trey Lance when he went to San Francisco and that blew up. Look, the case is made on the Packers that the Packers drafted Rodgers when they already had Favre, that they drafted Love when they already had Rodgers. And then people say, oh, look at Kansas City. They drafted Mahomes when they already had Alex Smith. And the flaw in that logic is simple, Mike. Neither the Packers nor the Chiefs went out on the free agent market and spent $180 million to bring in a quarterback right then and there. And that's what the Falcons did. That's what they did. So I find it a dicey situation.
Well, those guys were toward the end of their careers. And I know that Cousins, who they just signed, he's in his mid-30s. What is Cousins, like 35, maybe even 36? But, Tony, Penix is 24 years old. He is not like a 21-year-old. That's 24. So by the time he starts, if Atlanta's scouting and instincts are any good, it's going to be 2 years at least of Cousins. That means Penix will be 26. First of all, you have things you didn't have going back to Rodgers and Favre in that transition. You have social media. You have the examination of locker rooms. You have impatient owners and teams and GMs and coaches who want people to play today. And if you go 1-2 and you're Kirk Cousins, they'll be demanding Penix. There'll be a split locker room. Who'll be making their feelings known on Instagram. There's all of that.
I don't understand why do you want to torment Cousins by saying you picked his successor in this draft. Why do you? Why did you do that? You're going to give him $100 million guaranteed and send him out there in a year? Just get rid of him? All right, let's take a break. Coming up, where would another postseason disappointment leave the Maple Leafs? We're going to ask PK Subban.
We'll also ask him whether it's over for the Lightning as we've known them. They've won.
I don't think Cousins is going to freeze Penix out, though, the way that Favre froze out Rodgers.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's dig into the NHL playoffs with the man who calls me corny. It's my hockey name. ESPN hockey analyst PK Subban. PK, let us start with this. The Bruins try to close out the Maple Leafs tonight. Auston Matthews skated this morning, but apparently he has been sick lately. Where would another postseason disappointment leave Toronto in your mind?
I'd leave them in shambles. I mean, for me, the definition of insanity is mediocrity, and it's been the same thing over and over again. Obviously, last year was their first win in the first round since 2004, but we also remember the meltdown against Montreal in the bubble when they were up 3-1. They ended up losing that series as well. And, you know, it's accepting mediocrity for me. If they don't win, if they don't get themselves back into this series and find a way to get out of the first round, there's got to be huge changes. You can't have four players taking up 50% of the cap. And it's not just on the players. I'm not putting it on just the players. It's everything as a whole. It's the same culture. It's the same group. And you're charging fans top dollar. People are paying big, big money to come and watch this team. The expectations got to be higher. And you can't accept mediocrity. It's just not, you can't accept it. Not for an original six franchise. Not in the hockey mecca of the world in Toronto. Can't accept it. So it's a must-win series for the Toronto Maple Leafs for me, or big changes.
Man, and I've been rooting for Toronto, PK, so I'm locked into that game tonight. But there are three other elimination games as well tonight. And we're wondering, which of the trailing teams, Islanders, Jets, or Predators, you give the best chance of staying alive tonight and extending their series?
I'd have to say the Preds, not only because it's my old team, but I believe they have the best goaltender in that series. And if that goaltender, Mr. Juuse Saros, becomes the best player in the series as soon as next game, they're right back in this series. Obviously, we know they've had some injury troubles, both on their back end, but especially in the net, they lose their two top goaltenders. Anything's possible. You know that. And listen, anything's possible. They could have a goaltender come in there and get hot as well. But they came back, obviously, in amazing fashion to beat Nashville in a devastating way on home ice. But I don't think the Preds are out of this. They've been through adversity before. No one expected them to be here. If Juuse Saros can become the best player in this series, look out.
Well, one team that we know is out is the Lightning. Went out in the first round for the second straight year after all those trips to the finals and a couple of wins. PK, is it over for the Lightning as we have known them? Do you expect Stamkos to be back? What do you see going on there?
Well, the Tampa Bay Lightning are in a similar position as the Toronto Maple Leafs. The only difference is they've won. They've won two cups in that time with that core group. So you can't count them out yet. They still have Vasilevsky, who's got to be, if not the best goaltender, he's in the top three. They still have Victor Hedman, who's got lots of good hockey in him. If the playoffs were indicative of that, it showed that. So Braden Point's still young. Kucherov's the MVP. They picked up Brandon Hagel. They got Nick Paul. They got some really good pieces. Sergachev coming back and playing, getting in a game after missing 80 days, you know, from a crazy injury. All good signs, but they're going to have to do some retooling. You lost in the first round to a team that went to the Stanley Cup final, and it probably should have been a sweep. Now, you know, Tampa played well. Give them credit. They competed. They pushed it. But Florida's just that deep of a team right now. Tampa's got to do some retooling. I'm not sure if they should be getting rid of Steven Stamkos. I mean, they have the first power play in the league last year. Kucherov's first in points. Stamkos a big part of that. You can't replace those goals. So what do they do there? Does he want to take less to stay there? I think with Steven, if I'm in his shoes, I'm looking at it this way. I want to play 5-on-5 hockey. I can still play 5-on-5 hockey, find some ice time for me to play. It's not about the money, I don't think, for him. To have his jersey go up in the rafters, it's got to be important to him. But Tampa's not out of it. I still think with some right, with the right retooling, they can be back in the mix in a year, maybe two.
We'll get you out of here on this. Alexander Ovechkin, great goal scorer. Didn't have any points at all, and the Capitals were swept by the Rangers. Going forward, what should we expect from Ovechkin? Because he cannot be happy with this kind of showing.
Well, being recently removed from the game, I can tell you this. You have to be in immense shape to play at this level. And then when it gets to the playoffs, the speed and the physicality ratchets up again. Alex Ovechkin is a generational talent. I mean, when he leaves the game, we're going to miss him tremendously with the tenacity, the explosiveness, and the energy that he brings. But he's going to have to bring that energy and explosiveness next year. Like, he wants to break this record. I believe if he goes into the offseason and gets himself in the best shape that he possibly can at his age, he'll not only break that record next year, he could crush it because he's got Spencer Carberry there who's going to be up for Coach of the Year. I don't think he could have a better coach to help him do this and also put their team in a position to get to the playoffs. Because remember this, for Alex Ovechkin, it's about winning as well. He wants to win. He wants to compete while he's still playing. So I think it's possible, but he's got to get himself in the best shape. You're skating, playing against guys that are 18, 19, and 20. It's just, that's a part of human nature. He's got to pay attention to those details this offseason, and there's no question that he will. So expect a brand new Alex Ovechkin next season.
Thank you so much, PK, as always. Love
PK,
having you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Tonight's playoff doubleheader on ESPN starts with the Leafs and Bruins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Let's take one last break, but still to come, did Ellie De La Cruz throw a ball faster than anyone in big league history last night?
Yeah, people are going to get carried away. And what chances do the Sixers have of beating the Knickerbockers in the Garden tonight? Tony, you should have seen what PK was wearing. You should have seen his fit last night. He was killing it again.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become? Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Happy time, people. Happy 23rd birthday, Camila Cardoso. The 6'7" center from South Carolina was voted most outstanding player in the most recent NCAA tournament. Cardoso came to the United States from Brazil when she was 15 years old. She first played at Syracuse, where she was ACC Rookie of the Year in 2021. She then transferred to South Carolina and has played on two national championship teams. This past season, Cardoso averaged 14.4 points, 9.7 rebounds. She missed the first game of the NCAAs this year because she was suspended for one game after a scuffle with LSU in the SEC title game. Coincidentally, she will line up next year next to LSU's Angel Reese, as both were drafted by Chicago of the WNBA.
fired up and ready to start the season, Tony, with the two rookies who are going to control the glass. All right? We're going to beat everybody in rebounding. I know there'll be growing pains a couple of years removed from the Candace Parker championship team, but on the right path with Cardoza and Angel Reese. Thrilled about it.
Happy anniversary, Jeff Van Gundy. On this day, 26 years ago, the Knicks coach attempted to break up a fight between Miami's Alonzo Mourning and the Knicks' Larry Johnson at the end of a playoff game. Those two had bad blood since they were teammates in Charlotte. Van Gundy slid down Mourning's leg, holding on at the ankle, a classic video that has followed Van Gundy ever since. Afterwards, Van Gundy said, quote, "When you are foolish enough to get in between two Brahma bulls, you deserve to get stomped," unquote. Van Gundy's own player, Chris Mills, said Van Gundy, quote, "looked like a jockey who fell off his horse and hung on for dear life," unquote.
I guess the league is better off for not having any more confrontations and skirmishes like that, Tony. I guess that was exciting. I miss hearing Jeff Van Gundy, who I like hearing very much his basketball analysis. So I miss that, and hopefully run into Jeff sometime soon somewhere, but not hanging on anybody's pant leg.
Happy trails to Chris Finch, coaching from the sidelines in Game 1 versus Denver. The Timberwolves coach will undergo surgery to repair his right patellar tendon on Wednesday. And it remains unclear whether Finch will be able to open the series against Denver sitting on the bench. ESPN reports in the early stages of his rehab, Finch will be required to keep his leg immobilized in a brace. If Finch isn't able to be on the bench, assistant Micah Norry will coach Game 1 on Saturday, and Finch will communicate with him from the locker room. Finch suffered the injury late in Game 4 against Phoenix when Mike Conley Jr. got bumped and collided with his coach. Wilbon, this strikes me as very problematic for Minnesota if their head coach can't actually coach on the floor.
Well, it's not advantageous, Tony, but he's not the demonstrative sideline presence as some others are. I'm thinking of like Eric Spoelstra. There are other people who are more demonstrative and physical on the sideline. I don't think of him as that way. And you know what? It's a better thing that he has that injury than Anthony Edwards. If Anthony Edwards is healthy, I still like Minnesota to make that a great series.
One update. The Celtics say Kristaps Porzingis has a right soleus strain. That's in your calf, people. He will miss Game 5 versus Miami on Wednesday. Quickly to the big finish, as we have.
Let's do it.
Joel Embiid missed 76ers shoot-around with a migraine. Kelly Oubre missed it with an illness. Your thoughts?
They need both of them to win, or they're going home. They need both of them. Ellie De La Cruz threw a ball 106.9 miles per hour from short to first. Unofficially, the fastest recorded throw ever in a baseball game. I don't trust that. You believe it?
I believe it, and I think that in terms of Shohei Ohtani, the Reds ought to ask him, do you want to pitch? The Pacers can eliminate the Bucks tonight. Will Milwaukee extend the series?
Tony, I hope they do. But again, Giannis and Dame, Giannis is out for sure. Dame, it doesn't look as. I hope they extend it, but I don't think so. Orioles beat the Yankees. New York pitcher Clark Schmidt, set of the O's. They're legit. You agree?
Yeah, they won 101 last year. Sure, last one. Twins go for ninth in a row tonight. Do you like their chances?
Playing the White Sox, of course.
We're out of time. Trying to do better the next time. Shout out to Tracy Callahan.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Here's Sports Center.